Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The counsel of the Lord is the main thrust of our focus this afternoon. And it is taken from verse 11. As you can see from verse 11, the counsel of the Lord is divided into two parts. And that's how we're going to focus our message or messages, two parts. The first part is, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The second part is, the counsel of the Lord focuses on the heart, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. It is timeless. It is for every generation, regardless of whether you live in the time of the before Christ period or after Christ period. It does not matter. The counsel of the Lord stands. Now, we all love to give counseling. That's the way we are. The moment you tell someone something about himself, whether it is a criticism or an encouragement, you're basically telling him to change his life. And that is counseling. And since all of us do this, whether we do it consciously or otherwise, we do it. The moment we open our mouth, we make a comment. You look good today. You encourage the person to dress the same way tomorrow. You look tired. You tell him you need enough rest. You don't have enough rest. Maybe you should have more sleep, more rest. You look exhausted. And now with modern technology, it's not limited to only our words. It's what you put up on your many, many internet accounts. It's what you send out in your chat, whether it is by Telegram or WhatsApp or any other form of communication, email. The moment that you write something to someone, you are basically giving a counsel. You may not realize it, but that is what counseling is, telling someone how to live, how to relate to another person, how to conduct himself. And what therefore is the source of your counseling? What do you do when you give counsel? What is the basis for your wisdom to tell someone something about him or about her? The Bible tells us that there is the counsel of Jehovah. If there is no counsel from Jehovah, we are all left to our own devices, to our own opinions, and there will be no absolutes, no right, no wrong, because what makes what you think you say as your opinion more right than mine, or right or wrong compared to mine, if they are opposites? But we thank God that there is the counsel of our Creator, the counsel of the God of Israel, Jehovah. And that is something that we have to take heed as Christians, because when you give a comment or an advice to someone, especially as parents to our children or our colleagues who know us as believers, it is imperative that our advice is the counsel of the Lord. Verse 1 to verse 10 will be our focus for our first message, and it is under the sub-theme of the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And then after we return from the break, it will be the counsel of the Lord focuses on the heart. And then you realize that all the rest of the counsel of man will focus only on the external. It has no power nor authority to touch the heart. And that's where the heart is most important. Because if our counsel doesn't convict and convert a heart, then when the person obeys whatever we say, for whatever reason, it is going to be temporal. It's not going to last a lifetime. And the change is purely external, just to please you or to please someone. But when the counsel touches the heart and it comes from the heart, it becomes a conviction, whether it is in front of you or when you are absent, it remains part and parcel of the person's conviction and life. And so that will be our second message concerning the counsel of the Lord. And so when we look at the counsel of the Lord, verse 1 to verse 10, you realize from the first three verses, the ones who can accept and recognize that the counsel of the Lord stands forever are identified for us. Because as you know, not everyone is interested in the counsel of the Lord. They might find it useless. What makes the counsel of the Lord better than mine? And so only certain people can recognize it. And once you can recognize it, hopefully you will employ it. You will use it. Because if you don't recognize and accept that it is the counsel of the Lord, then you will not be bothered about it. Now we know that believers nowadays are more in name than in substance or essence. There are so many people who call themselves believers in the last days, so much so that it is so scary. That what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, to tell them to make sure of the salvation with fear and trembling, it has a very different tone and impact in our last days than perhaps in his time when the church was just born. Because of the great confusion and the great deception of the last days, that we think that we are believers rather than we are truly believers. And when it is not evidenced by how we live, you look around you, you realize that there are so many whose life as a Christian are similar to yours. And therefore, you hardly find any contrast, any kind of holiness for you to recognize that perhaps my version of Christianity is not biblical. And perhaps I might not even be born again. I mean, we do not have this kind of stark contrast. And when the contrast is so minor, minute, that we hardly see it, then we think that we are all righteous within. The Bible tells us only the righteous will be able to recognize the counsel of the Lord and how important it is to them. Because the counsel must first be applied to yourself before you can tell it to others. Because the person who receives your counseling will be able to know, why is he telling me something that he himself is not obeying? Why would he do that? We came back yesterday afternoon and we called a Grab, and we did not know that our Grab driver was a multi-millionaire until we had a conversation with him. He lived in a 10,000 square feet piece of land given to him by his father. He owned four properties, two condominiums and two other landed properties that he rented out. He runs a business. His wife runs a tuition center. But he likes to meet people. He owns two electric vehicles. But he doesn't want to use them for his Grab, so he rented one. He's been doing this for the past 8 years. He just started to experience what's it like to drive a Grab Premium. And so he got a hybrid 7-seater. And so we needed a premium car to carry all our luggage. And so that's how we met up with him. And through this conversation, we talk. And one of the things that he mentioned was that he had a friend who attends church every Sunday, very, very faithfully and regularly. But Monday to Saturday, he would cheat people without a conscience. And he believes that there are always good people in all religions, and there are also bad people in all religions, and his friend is a bad apple in the Christian religion. So it was very hard to share the gospel with him after he shared that with us. Of course, we left behind some tracts. And then I gave him my name card. Hopefully he will contact and come to this church. Now what he said was, this friend attends church every Sunday very faithfully, asking God for forgiveness, and God will forgive. And then Monday to Saturday, he will cheat people with no conscience. This friend, this person who we met, is not a believer. He doesn't believe anything. He just makes a lot of money. Multi-millionaire. Drove us home from the airport. And this was his comment. He knew that this person should not be a Christian. They even told him, you should not go to church. How you live. But every time you do, oh, your God will forgive you. And so you keep on doing this. He doesn't care about the counsel of the Lord, does he? So I try to tell him that God will not hear his prayer. His repentance is not genuine and sincere. And God knows. God is not blind. God is not dead. The righteous, they will be the only ones who will appreciate and recognize the importance and the great significance and impact the counsel of the Lord in his life. Because he has impacted his life first before he shares it. How can you tell people to do this and do that and then you yourself do not obey? Right? And that's why the ones who can recognize the counsel of the Lord that stands forever is not just the counsel of the Lord is eternal. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. That means it will have the last word. Those who believe in it, who live their lives according to it, will remain standing where all the rest will collapse and disappear and will be rendered null and void. Come to naught is how the Bible describes it in verse 10. Zero. That's the impact. Stands forever. The righteous will stand forever with God, with Christ. And so, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. That is real joy when the person has tasted and experienced the counsel of the Lord in his own heart, and that is salvation. That is the first and most important counsel of the Lord that every one of us must experience first. Without this, you can give all the counseling you want, and it will turn to naught. Even the counsel of the Lord may bless others, but for yourself, it will turn to naught. There was this theologian whom I knew, was supposed to be a fundamentalist, called into the full-time ministry, went for theological training, obtained his doctoral degree in theology, made the head of the faculty of theology in a particular Bible college, and then he had been giving a lot of counseling to people, and then one day his own life became a mess. He wanted to go on sabbatical, but he was turned down. He quit. He left his church when he was the assistant pastor. He left the Bible college without a word. He just dropped everything, and he also left his family. And he was invisible, incognito, for a few weeks, many weeks. And then one day after SGH, my wife and I went to Gill House for dinner. We met him. Not sure whether he recognized him or recognized him. He was with another woman. And then he put on his internet account, when God's people were in trouble, I gave them counsel and advice. When I'm in trouble, nobody cares. God doesn't care too. This is going to be the last time you're all going to hear from me. And that was it. He gave counsel, but he never in his own heart, apparently, have experienced the counsel of the Lord. Otherwise, he would not have written those words, those painful, hurtful words. Very, very, extremely discouraged to the point of turning his back on the Lord himself. Having given many counsels to many people, was he lacking in any knowledge of the Bible? Apparently not. Doctoral in theology. How could he, right? Unless all this was just head knowledge and never heart knowledge. That it was just purely like a profession, like a job out in the world. But to the righteous, it is true joy. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. It's comely means it is very, very beautiful to come from the lips and the heart of someone who have tasted the counsel of the Lord in his own life. Praise the Lord with harp, sing with him sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Now this is like an orchestra in the Old Testament time. These are all string instruments. That means this is great joy to all those come together and rejoice and celebrate. And sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Why new song? Because every time you have a new experience with God, you sing a new song. That's the idea of a new song. It's not just some past experiences that I had with the Lord many years ago, that the Lord was close to me and I am with the Lord and the Lord was very real in my life. But no new song. No present day wonderful experiences with the Lord, but not the psalmist. New song, that means new experiences every day. And if you were to drop dead right now and someone were to be asked to stand up who knew you very well to give a eulogy, the eulogy of a wonderful testimony will be very current. No need to crack his head and to go back in time, sometime in the past 10, 15 years ago where you cracked your head and tried to think of something wonderful to say about him and the Lord. It is current, it is recent, in other words, new song. And to the person who is righteous with the counsel of the Lord, it doesn't leave his head. You and I know that the moment you wake up, your brain keeps thinking. You don't stop. You don't stop at all. You keep on thinking how to be a better witness for the Lord. Many of you know that we just came back from our vacation with our family, first time with our grandchildren. It was very, very blessed, but also very, very dangerous in the real sense. Because these young people, when they plan hike, I thought it was just hike, you know. One wrong step only, I would tumble down this steep slope of 200 meters down, nearly 75 degrees angle incline. And I was wearing my just normal running shoe, walking shoe. It was restful, it was enjoyable, it was a blessing, but it was also dangerous. Prayed without ceasing. Literally, my daughter was carrying Levi in front of her as she walked. And then Lamb was carrying Christine one hand as he skip like an antelope down. There, his footstep is so sturdy. And Jay and myself, I would even do it when I was 18 years old. Now I got to do it and I'm 68. So nervous. I leaned back. Thank God Zach helped us. And then later on, Zhong Yan helped me to take every step down. But all the while in my head, never stopped crying to the Lord. Kept on thinking about the Lord. All the way. Every day, every moment, keep on thinking about the Lord. At the end of the day, thank God for traveling mercies. Never stop thinking about the Lord. How not to praise when your mind, the moment you wake up, is the Lord. And the whole day is the Lord. And right up to the last moment, when you are so tired and exhausted before you close your eyes, it is just a thankful spirit to the Lord for His preservation and His protection. How not to have a new song? Isn't it? Because when you have tasted the counselor in your heart, you don't stop thinking about Him. Everything that you do, you watch, the creation you watch, everything, everyone, good, bad, ugly, everything. It's about the Lord. It's how the Lord will see society. It's how the Lord will see His creation. It's how the Lord will see your family. It's how the Lord will see where you are, what you're doing. Everything is about the Lord, isn't it? And that's what verse 1 and verse 3 says, isn't it? The ones who can appreciate the counsel of the Lord are the ones who have experienced it in their own life, where the moment they open their mouth, it is the Lord's. It is the Lord's word that I must tell you. It is because of the Lord that I must share with you. It is the Lord. So important, so critical. The Lord. Do you appreciate the counsel of the Lord? If you have tasted what the counsel of the Lord has done for you, make you righteous. Before that, sinners, enemies of God, now you are righteous. Can stand before God, can approach God just like Adam and Eve before the fall. You realize that? That's what Hebrews tell us. Come boldly. Don't be shy. Don't drag your feet. Come boldly. In other words, come with your head held high. Don't have to look down. Right? That's the meaning of the boldly, isn't it? Not, of course, in a sense that you become presumptuous. Not in a rude, presumptuous manner where you take God for granted, whereby familiarity has bred contempt, but boldly means don't let anything or anyone prevent you to approach me with your head held high because of what Christ has done in your life. When you have been now made righteous by the blood of my only begotten Son, God says, I have raised him from the dead after I have scrutinized every part of his life using my omniscience to see whether he was really perfect when he lived on earth for 33 plus years as the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world, and he passed the test. That's why I raised him from the dead for your justification, so that you can stand before me righteous anytime, any moment, under every circumstances of your struggle in life, you come to me. How can you not rejoice when you can approach the Creator, the Almighty, any time of the night or day, under every circumstance? How can you not rejoice? They are the ones who will appreciate the counsel of the Lord stands forever, because they know it. They have felt it. They have experienced it in their own life. And with that, verse 4 and verse 5 tells us this same righteousness that they experience in their own life that make them righteous, O ye righteous, they will keep at it. They will keep obeying the counsel of the Lord, because that is the only way to stand in this society of ours and to stand before God without any shame. The counsel of the Lord. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. For the word of the Lord is right. How does he know? He knows it. And so his external life will be lived in such a manner, because the first verse is, ye righteous, about the person. Verse 4 and verse 5 is now about his life, his action. A righteous person will live righteously. A righteous person, the moment he sinned, he will repent like David. He's not going to be like King Saul. Keep on making excuses, pointing fingers, and blame everyone around him for his own mistakes and blunders and his own hard-hearted soul. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. You obey his word, and then you live it out, and what will you have as a result? All his works are done in truth. It will never, never be wrong. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. That's why when you want to give counsel, don't give any other counsel except the Lord's counsel. In all circumstances, even in the minutest, simple advice, because that's how we give God's counsel when it is big advice. When this becomes natural, that's what Jesus says. When you are yea, yea, nay, nay in your daily conversation, God knows you will be such a person who will keep vows. Right? Because that's already part of your life. In your normal day-to-day conversation, I can believe what you say. Yes means yes, no means no. If this is part and parcel of day-to-day life, when it comes to making vows, like marriage vows and membership vows, we know you will keep it, because this is part of your life. Those who lie all the time, yea means nay, nay means yea, you want to believe their vows? Same. Same thing here. Don't say, well, I only give Bible advice when it comes to big things. Crucial, important, key, crossroads decisions, I will give biblical advice. But other than that, day to day, never mind. You cannot have that attitude. Then you're like living a two-person life, like a schizophrenic. Day to day, you are another person where you don't care about the counsel of the Lord. When it comes to major events, crossroads, then I try to seek God's counsel, seek God's will. What job should I take? Where? Who should I marry? And where should I send my children for school? All these are the crossroads events. I will pray and ask the Lord. But day to day, never mind. God says, faithful in the least, you be faithful in the much. So let this be our way of life. No matter too tiny and too small, that the counsel of the Lord should not be the only counsel. And no matter how big the decision is, the counsel of the Lord will naturally be the only counsel too. That's what verse 4 means, isn't it? The word of the Lord is right. Do you believe that? It has made you righteous. Every jot and tittle from Genesis to Revelation, not a single advice, counsel, is going to lead you into sin. And it will hurt you, or it will be called wrong in the eyes of God. It will always be right. And when it is carried out, it becomes works, right? From word to works, the action, the result, it will be done in truth. That's how important this is. It will be done in truth when it is done according to the word of God. That is your life. That becomes you. Your action is going to reveal who you are. A truthful, righteous person. And the result, you love righteousness because you are righteous. And then the judgment, you will also appreciate it because it will be according to God's word. How can a righteous person be upset and be angry? And the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, even in these last days. Now, of course, the goodness of the Lord is a very general goodness of the Lord. For example, the Bible tells us the rain falls on everyone alike. Whether you are a Christian farmer or a Christian shepherd or not, the rain of God that God sends will fall on your field just as much on the fields of His children. The goodness of the Lord is everywhere. How much more in the hearts and in the lives of God's people, where you have this special, not general goodness, but the special goodness of God in Christ that you sprinkle everywhere when you open your mouth, when you send a WhatsApp. Think, evaluate very, very carefully before you send it out. Is it according to the teaching of the Bible? Because the counsel of the Lord is biblical. It's found in the Bible, the Word of God. Is it or is it not? If it is not, don't send. Don't send. You know, all this group chat is very, very useful. It can also become very harmful. All our Bible studies are very, very good on paper, but they can also become gateways for the evil one to gossip, to spread rumors, to undermine and to destroy lives and relationships. We know this. We have seen this. We have experienced this many times over. And that's why when you have the counsel of the Lord in your heart, in your life, you need to do what is necessary to sprinkle the counsel of the Lord into the heart, into the mind, into the conversation of people who try to sow seeds of discord. You're going to tell them. For example, if a person comes for Bible studies, and then you have a particular focus, a particular book or topic that you're studying, and then they started to digress and bring in some other issues that are unrelated, you are the Bible study leader or the facilitator, you're going to tell the person gently, calmly, and also immediately, "Brother, please do not continue this. This is not the place, not the time. If you have any issue with this person, please," the Bible says, "go to the person directly." Right? Matthew 18. Talk to him. You are talking to the wrong people. We are not him. And what you are doing now to malign him in this manner, where you are pointing out all his faults and his shortcomings, you are now sowing seeds of discord. Please stop. Tell him. Don't let him continue. And let all the rest realize and understand that this is a Bible study, not a gateway for gossips. But if you keep quiet, where is the counsel of the Lord that must be applied? You didn't do it. You have to do it. But it is not pleasant, but it has to be done. Washing toilet is never a pleasant task, right? Never. When people are spewing out this kind of words that will ruin and destroy lives, and you need to close his mouth. Not a pleasant thing, but it has to be done. That's why you are the Bible study leader. That's why you are made the facilitator. It is your duty and responsibility to protect the spiritual well-being of the group who are gathered here, assembled here, to study God's word, to do discussion, questions, or whatever it is, for their spiritual well-being. And here this person comes in and try to bring in certain things that are unbiblical. It is your responsibility to stop it. The counsel of the Lord. You know what to do. The more you study the Bible, the better it will be. But you need to do it. He loveth righteousness and judgment. He will do it. Because the earth is full of God's goodness. General. But with you in it, as God's children, sprinkle your world with the counsel of the Lord through your words. Spoken or written or through your finger. Send it out. Let them know. The counsel of the Lord is for everyone. To sinners, they need the gospel. To believers, they need encouragement. All of us do, no exception. And it is important for you to realize this, that the Lord has saved you, left you behind, given you the mind to understand God's word for a reason. And therefore, when certain events come your way, you need to voice and give the counsel of the Lord. It is your duty, it is responsibility, and it is your privilege. The righteousness of God shall stand forever. Will you speak up and let it stand forever? Because all you need to do is speak up once, and the rest of them will fear. And they will love to be in your Bible study group, because they know you will make sure that they come for their spiritual well-being, and their spiritual well-being will be left intact at the end of it, and will not be undermined, because you are a good and faithful, courageous, righteous leader who knows the counsel of the Lord and who knows when to speak up and what to say when it is time. Would you do that? When you're able to do this in the small things, you'll be able to do this in the bigger things. You do this at home to your children. You do this at home to your siblings, school to your friends, workplace to your colleagues. Day to day, be prayerful, be tactful, give the right advice. Very important. Because the counsel of the Lord, appreciated by the righteous, because they know how righteousness will stand forever. And finally, verse 6 to verse 10 tells us that when you give advice, use the counsel of the Lord because it is powerful. It stands forever, so that righteousness will stand forever at the end of time. And it has the power to remove all evil, all man-centered opinions and ideas. They will all be washed away. But the counsel of the Lord will remain, because he has the power to do so. You and I know how powerful the word of God is. You and I know how powerful words are. They say the pen is mightier than the sword, and that is very real. Very, very real. The sword can just simply kill, but the sword cannot build up lives and change lives, but the word of God can. Words can. Words will put into the heart and mind of people images, ideas, good, righteous, or bad and unrighteous. Words are powerful. Very, very powerful. And so the Bible tells us there is no word more powerful than God's word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He just spoke it, and this whole universe came into existence. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The stars in the heaven, everything. God just simply spoke them, and they all just appeared out of nowhere, out of nothing. That's how powerful God's word is. You and I can't even fathom and imagine the greatness of the power of God's word. The problem with us is we use it so often, we just spoke about it as if it is no big deal, so flippantly. It has lost the power in our heart, in our mind, in our understanding. That is the tragedy of the 21st century society that we're living in. We have forgotten how powerful the word of God is, so much so that when we look at creation, we never link it to the power and the greatness of God's word. that everything that we see, night and day, they came out of nothing. Do you realize how that thought, that truth, can never be fully comprehended by us? But it has lost its impact because we get used to it. That's the problem with us. We get used to the spectacular, even the miraculous. The greatness of the miraculous, it numbs the impact in us. First time, yeah, very impactful. But after we see day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, we get used to it. It becomes normal, no longer impactful. That's the way we are. And you have to realize that in order to get yourself out of it. To me, Niagara Falls was so amazing the first time I saw it, but not to the guy who stands next to it selling those hot dogs. Every morning he's more focused on his hot dog, how many hot dogs will I sell this day, than the great Niagara Falls behind him. You think he cares? Maybe first time when he set up his hot dog stand right next to Niagara Falls, he may look at the Niagara Falls, wow, wow, like all the tourists around him. But after a few weeks, maybe even less, you think he still cared about that gigantic, enormous, humongous, what? Drain? Amount of water that flowed down from Niagara Falls? Unimaginable. So huge. The sound. Spectacular. Just like the Israelites. When the mount first quick with lightning and thunder, they were so fearful, right? But what happened? 40 days and 40 nights later, they dared to make the golden calf at the foot of that mountain. Have they soon forgotten the impact of the presence of God when the whole mountain quake, the lightning, the thunder, and so on? Every morning they woke up, yeah, it's there, it's there, it's there. First time, it was so impactful. After a while, golden calf. That's our problem. You look at the creation. We see more of man's buildings than God's creation. Night and day, we forget. At night, look at the stars, the sky. Can't see it in bright light Singapore. Look up, pure darkness. You can't see the thousands and hundreds of thousands of stars above, because it is blurred by the lights of man. The light of the creation is completely ignored by us. We are more interested in our light at home. Switch on our light, my table light, the television light, my computer light, rather than the light of God's creation. We forget that it came out of nothing. The vastness of the universe never existed until God said it, and they, boom, just appeared. Just imagine that. That's the counsel of the Lord. That's the power of God's word. And it is now in us and with us. He realized that. And all the hosts, and he gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. Who can control the ocean? Not man. They can only talk about it a lot, and they are helpless to do anything about it. They're telling us about the ice that is so big in the North Pole, they are melting, and sea water is increasing by how many centimeters a year, and so on and so forth. That's all they can do. Can they reverse the whole process? Can they gather it and then control it? You look at the wave, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming, but they never cross the boundary of the beach that God himself has set. How do you explain all these things? You look at the ocean, we fail to see the hand of God. We only look at the beauty of the sunrise and the sunset, but we fail to see the vastness of the ocean, the mass of water in front of us, and then look at the waves. Why does it limit itself to this? Why don't they keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming, and pass over this line into the city? Sometimes they do. We call it tsunami. We give a name to it. It's all under God's hand and God's hand. He not only controlled it or created it, he now controls it. And we fail to see it. He layeth up the depth in storehouses, how deep the oceans are. God is the one who put it there, as you know, Noah's time. He created and He changed the face, the surface of our earth before and after Noah's flood. He changed it. The power that is in God's word, in the counsel of the Lord, that's why it stands forever, because there is no power greater than God's power, and that power is now given to us. How can you not use the counsel of the Lord? Because when you use the counsel of the Lord, who is working? The Lord is working, because it is His word. And the Spirit of God will take His word to bring conviction and conversion to sinner and encouragement to believers. That's why when you go out and do visitation, or when you open your mouth to give advice to someone, please think how powerful the counsel of the Lord is and can be if you were to use it. And it can change the lives of people if they listen and obey. But what if they don't listen and obey? But at least you give them the opportunity to listen and to obey. But if you don't say it at all, you don't give it to them at all, then they don't even have the opportunity to accept it. That's why you need to say it, to give them the counsel. The world needs it. And you need to do it. They need to experience the power of the Word of God. You and I know what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 9 and 10 concerning how can a person believe if they do not hear? How can they hear if they do not have someone to preach to them? How can someone preach if they are not sent? God saved you and left you behind. That means He has sent you. The fact that He has saved you and not taken you home and left you behind means He has sent you to your world. And He has given us the Word of God, which is the counsel of the Lord, to help us. And so when the advice you give, the counsel you give is the Word of God, is according to the teaching of God's Word, it is actually the Lord who is now telling the person what to do. That's why we mentioned to you many times that whenever the gospel according to the scripture is shared, it is actually Jesus Himself offering salvation to that sinner. Do you realize that? It's your voice, but it's not your word. And therefore, it is Jesus Christ who is personally saving that person, not you. You may be the instrument that will help the person when you pray the prayer of salvation with him, but when the person says, yes, I want to believe, he is basically actually saying yes to Christ, not to you. And once you say yes to Christ and Christ sees the sincerity and the transformation, the salvation is real, Jesus Himself will baptize him with the Holy Spirit, and that's when the Holy Spirit will dwell in him. Right? It's all invisible. You don't see it, but that is exactly what happens when a person believes in Christ through the gospel according to scripture that you shared. The power of the counsel of the Lord can turn a sinner into a child of God, an enemy into a child of God, a sinner to a saint, and his destination is no longer heading toward hell, but to heaven. And all because you took the trouble to share with him the power of the counsel of God's word that can change and transform him from within. That's what the Bible tells us, why it will stand forever, because it is God's power. But in contrast to the counsel of man, verse 9, for he spoke and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast, right? That is creation. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to zero, which is true. No matter how man may call all these wise men of the past or wise men of the Greek Empire, Socrates or whatever, whoever they are, they all can only give advice that are good in this world and on this earth and in this lifetime. And it will not stand forever, and it will all come to zero, because it will not turn them closer to Christ. It will not make them children of God. Only the counsel of the Lord can. That's why you and I are foolish if we have the Word of God with us and we don't use it to counsel someone. Foolish. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. And so whatever they do, whatever they invent, it will be impactless, zero, no use as far as God is concerned. You look at all the counsel. You see it all everywhere. The wisdom of man, the knowledge of man invented for us the wonderful elevator, lift, the escalator, the bright lights, all these, you know, all will come to nothing. Right? Men give a lot of high praise to all these inventors, who are the people who are now very famous in our lifetime with their new invention, computer, electric cars. A lot of all these are great inventions. But where will they be at the end? None effect. Because as far as God is concerned, He measures everything in terms of eternity that will stand forever. And the advice that you give someone that can change him from a sinner to a saint, he will now stand forever in heaven with you by your side. You give advice to a Christian who can help, that can help him to become a better believer, a stronger Christian, his maturity will also stand forever. And the impact of his maturity in the lives of other people will also stand forever. And all because it began with your counsel to him. And they all will stand forever because it's the power of God, it's the righteousness of God, and only the righteous people will appreciate. Isn't that true? Do you appreciate it as a child of God because it has impacted you, transformed you, turned your life around when you are prepared to do whatever it takes your Lord wants you to do with your life? And the Lord has accepted your offer of your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And He has been directing and guiding your life. How can you not use the counsel of the Lord, which you know stands forever in your own life, to help others? Because it will be righteous, and it will bring righteousness to others, and it is powerful. That's why no one can stop the word of God, and definitely not the counsel of the heathen. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the counsel of the Lord that You have given to us in Holy Scripture. For we know that this book of life will stand forever. May we who have truly accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, who have experienced this righteousness, be the ones who will truly say amen to the counsel of the Lord. And may the counsel of the Lord flow forth from our lips, and in whatever we write or send, may it truly be according to Holy Scriptures. But we have not done so in the past because of our foolishness and our ignorance. May Thou forgive us. Help us, O Lord, to be good students of Thy holy word day by day, so that we can truly give counsel of the Lord to others. But first, may this counsel of the Lord be applied into our own lives, so that we will not be seen and understood as hypocrites, but genuine, sincere children of God who shared the wonderful counsel of the Lord with others, because we have tasted its own wonder and beauty in our own lives. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.